You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
And you are tuned in to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. I'm David Baer. And if you're wondering what I mean by more perfect, if you haven't heard a previous episode, I'll dive in and explain it. It's inspired by the idea that's set forth in the U.S. Constitution about a more perfect union. The idea being that we are always working to make things better, to improve upon our situation. And so I think that that's a really great approach when it comes to marketing a business, is, you know, seeing that there's some mistakes, some failures in your marketing, and then going back and making some tweaks and trying it again, or observing the success of others and saying, how can I apply that to my business? So we're incrementally improving our marketing day by day, inch by inch. Today, I want to talk about a topic that I think too few businesses take advantage of. It's a marketing channel that I think is overlooked, and, you know, partially it's because we're so fascinated with the online world. Everybody, when you start talking about where are you spending your marketing dollars or your marketing time, immediately turns to the internet. But I want to talk about another inbox, not the email inbox, but your mailbox. This is actually the inbox that everybody checks on a daily basis, at least every day that mail is delivered. And so I want to talk a little bit about direct mail marketing, what it is, what it isn't, what it's appropriate for, where it may not be appropriate. It does cost money. Obviously, you know, postage feels like it's a lot more expensive to invest in than, you know, clicks online. But there is often a greater return on investment when you're dealing with direct mail, particularly when you're doing it the right way. Am I a direct mail expert? Absolutely not. I have run a handful of direct mail campaigns. There are people out there who really know this world inside and out. I am not one of them. But I do know the subject well enough to understand that it's an opportunity that more of my clients should be taking advantage of if I could only convince them to do it. And so by extension, I want to talk to you a little bit today about what direct mail is and why you might want to consider doing it. Now, I said big ROI. It has been proved. There are some studies that show that you could get upwards of 24,000% return on investment when dealing with direct mail campaigns, when done properly. That's always the disclaimer, right? So let's talk a little bit about direct mail, because there's a few different ways you can do this. You know, there's classic direct mail marketing advertising campaigns where you're trying to get people to directly respond to an offer. I see this a lot in my local area from realtors, or from restaurants, or from a dental office that has, you know, availability for more patients. You see this a lot from banks. Banks go pretty deep in direct mail, particularly with credit card offers and other offers to start a new relationship with the bank. But also businesses that already have a relationship with you as a consumer are trying to get you back, and hopefully, you know, you're seeing those ads in the mail, trying to get your business. There's a famous story about the copywriter Gary Halbert, who talked about the routine that most of us go through when we receive our mail. What he described is, and people have iterated this further, but his basic premise was there's two different piles that you sort your mail into, the A pile and the B pile, and some people add a C pile, but the A pile is things I'm going to open right now and take a look at. The B pile is things I'm going to, well, at the time that he mentioned this, you know, toss in the garbage. I would hope that most people are recycling it now. the C pile, for those who have added this, is some variation of I'm going to look at this, or I'm going to give this a second look, but not right now. And so I'll return to this. So how do you make sure that your piece of mail shows up in the correct pile? Well, what Gary Halbert taught was make it look like something that they'll want, right? Or that there's some curiosity around. And so you will see if you jump online, and yeah, you can jump online to learn about direct mail, you will see all kinds of examples of really brilliant direct mail campaigns. One of the things that that Gary Halbert and a lot of the folks who were doing direct mail prior to him, so sort of this heyday of direct mail, let's call it, and I'm going to be off in my guess here, but you know, from the 60s to the late 80s, there was this brilliant amount of very, very smart, very clever direct mail that showed up in people's inboxes with things that looked like they were something somebody would want or would be curious about. There's in some campaigns, they would, you know, have an envelope and there would be a teaser text on the outside, or there would be inside the envelope something that was a little bit lumpy, a little bit sort of, you would see that it wasn't just paper that was folded, but that there was some three-dimensional thing in there, and you were curious what it was. Sometimes there would be like a little sliver of a window open, and you would see that there were some pennies in there, and you'd be, what are those pennies about? All kinds of things, that were used to get people to curiously say, I'm going to set this aside in pile A because I want to open this and see what this is all about. Right, you can do the same exact thing with postcards as well, and so there's all kinds of strategic approaches to using direct mail that you can really go very deep, and you can go down a rabbit hole on this subject, and just hit up your friend Google or YouTube, and you're going to find so many examples of the type of stuff I'm talking about. There's also another form of direct mail, which is relationship building and relationship maintenance direct mail. That might be a newsletter, it might be just a monthly postcard, or some other form of direct mail to drop in on your prospects or your existing clientele. And using that medium makes sure that people see it rather than in their, their other inbox, the virtual one, their email inbox, where there's so much clutter that it's hard for it to stand out. So really think about creative ways to use direct mail for both getting people to take action on an offer as well as for retaining them as a prospect and or as a client. So that sort of nurture thing. Now, who do you mail to? So if you're mailing to folks to try to get them to take an action initially, there is a wealth of options in terms of mailing lists you can access. There are all kinds of demographic options you have: age, gender, their income level, where they live, all those sorts of things. But there's also different types of mailing lists that you should know about. So there's consumer lists. There's obviously B2B lists, business lists based on people's the company that they're with, the industry that they're in, their job title, things like that. There's also lists of people who are subscribers to something else. So magazine subscribers, something of the month subscribers. Those companies sell their, or rent, I should say, their lists. There's affiliate direct mail lists. You can actually buy access to mail your thing inside somebody else's product package. So let's say, company XYZ ships out their product. Well, you can put your offer inside of the delivery of their product. If it's a product that is sort of tangential to what you're offering, your product or your service, you could have your special offer, your discount, your first time, you know, customer, first time buyer offer inside of the delivery of their product. There's opt-in direct mail lists. These are actually lists where people say, I would like to be mailed information on this topic, and you can rent that list. Now, there's kind of two different ways to rent lists. One is kind of a one-time use only. And then the other way, which is a bit more expensive, as you would imagine, is the renting for a longer period of time, typically a year. So let's say, for example, you know, you can get a consumer name at 4 cents a name for a one-time use, and 8 or 9 cents a name, but you can use it the entire year. Which one would you use? I would highly recommend the latter. The latter is going to give you opportunities to mail a campaign rather than mail a single appeal or a single offer. And campaigns is where it's at. I have my swipe file of direct mail, and in there I have a campaign that I've been receiving for the last 6 months from the company MyPillow. Now, I don't know how I got on their list. I think I bought one of them at one point. I actually didn't even like the pillow very much. And I may have, you know, gone to their website and registered it for a warranty or something. I have no idea how they got my name. Or maybe they just profiled me and decided to start sending me offers. But each and every month, or about 6 weeks or so, I would get another offer. This is an oversized postcard. I would get an offer, and I would see what the offer was. There was an expiration on it. I never took any action on any of them. But then, you know, 4 or 6 weeks later, I would get another one, and it was a slightly different offer for a different product. Maybe the first one was more pillows. Maybe it was some sheets. Maybe it was all sort of, you know, connected to bedding. And then I would, you know, not act on it, and I would get another offer. And I was curious about this, so I started Googling it, and it wound me up at a website called Postcard Mania, which, by the way, is a company that I use for my direct mail. Highly, highly recommend them. But they have been running the campaigns for MyPillow, and there is an entire explanation about the economics behind those campaigns, which is brilliant. And you can really see how, when you invest, you know, a certain amount of money, what the return on investment will be, and they're very, very clear about all of the details that go into it. So pretty fascinating stuff. You know, there's a bunch of other examples of direct mail. Another one that I use quite a bit is actually not a direct mail for making offers, although I have used this for making offers, but a direct mail company that I'm using specifically to keep my existing clients in front of me, aware of me, and then I'm also doing some very inexpensive outreach appeal to prospective clients. It's a company, I always get the name wrong because I have an affiliate link that goes through a website called cardsforclients.com, and it forwards to their company, and I wish I could remember their name now. Mailbox Power is what they're called. So if you go to cardsforclients.com, which of course I've just disclosed is my affiliate link, you will wind up at Mailbox Power, and you will see what it is, which is a fascinating opportunity for businesses to have a personalized direct mail relationship with their customers and or prospects. One of the cool things that this company does is they allow you the ability to share with your audience a form asking for their birthday, so that you can send them birthday cards every single year and stay in front of them. They actually have added an additional campaign. My partner doesn't like this as much as I do. A half birthday card. Wouldn't that be cool that you get a card 6 months away from your birthday. Nobody else is sending cards, but this business thought enough to wish me a half birthday. I'm going to remember them, and I'm going to have increased my affinity for this business as a result. That's what the consumer is thinking. So a really smart campaign. There's a ton of other ones in there. And then as part of the package that I have, I can send unlimited 4x6 postcards for just the postage, no printing cost at all. And I can personalize all of them, which means that I can, and I do this with a financial advisor outreach campaign that we do. It's a 3-month campaign that I have designed and built out, and I put their name on the postcard. So not on the backside, the printed side, where the text is and their name and address is, obviously, but on the picture side. We have a picture of somebody in one of them holding up a sign, and it says something like, "Hey there, Joe Schmo," right? So you can see your name on this postcard, and it stands out. It's just like that Gary Halbert thing that I told you about earlier, where they get something in the inbox, and they have to decide, which pile am I putting this in? Well, if I'm sorting that and I see my name, David Baer, on a postcard, and it's a funny picture, well, I'm going to take another look at it in more detail after I've sorted my mail. So this is a really effective outreach campaign that we've had, and I highly recommend it. Check out cardsforclients.com to see how that all works. Anyway, I think you're getting the point that there is opportunity in direct mail. You do not have to have a huge, huge budget, particularly if you're a local business. You can do this incrementally, one zip code at a time, one neighborhood at a time, or maybe if you really don't serve more than, you know, a mile or two beyond your business, there's another option that you have that the U.S. Postal Service has called EDDM. Every door delivered mail. And this is probably the lowest postal rate you're going to encounter, because basically what you do is you find out how many houses are on each delivery route, and then you just have that many pieces printed and they get delivered to every house. It's so there is no addressing really involved, although there may be addressing, but the point is that every household on that delivery route receives this piece of mail. And so that may be a smart way to go, particularly if you're hyper-focused in a specific community, or if you simply want to test an offer that is an appropriate offer to a general audience. Okay, I've rambled on a bit here about direct mail. It's just one of the other channels that may be overlooked by a lot of businesses, and I want to give you an opportunity to think a little bit more about whether this might be a good option for you. So, once again, this is More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and I'd love to hear your feedback. I'd love to hear what you're looking for. We're going to start bringing guests onto the show in the coming weeks who are going to be sharing a whole different perspective on marketing strategy, and how to increase the effectiveness of marketing. If you have some requests, don't hesitate to reach out. You can always find me by going over to moreperfectmarketing.com and hitting the contact link, filling out the form, and that will contact me. So thanks once again for listening to More Perfect Marketing. I'm David Baer, and I look forward to seeing you soon again on another episode.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.